walk with me.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Welcome to Walk With Me. I am Brother Blyden. May 21st, 2023 was a very special day to me. Today's show is about my walk in finding a new church home. It took quite a while, but I am here now and I am very happy to tell you my testimony. Today's show is brought to you by Political Bombshell Store. If you go to politicalbombshell.com, you can get this amazing t-shirt right here. Hands up, praise the Lord. Hands up, praise the Lord. Politicalbombshell.com. Click on Political Bombshell Store and get this amazing t-shirt. Hands up, praise the Lord. Hands up, praise God. So, my journey began 10 years ago when I was born again and I was baptized in Christ Church of Deliverance in Hartford, Connecticut. Things were great, but I should back up a little bit before I got to that point. My mom, before she died, one of her wishes, if you will, is for all of her children to get to know the Lord and have a church home. So bearing that in mind, that was my motivation the first time around. So keep that in mind as we go through my journey here. And the journey was quite difficult because I was in unhealthy relationships that was definitely not what you should be doing when you are of God and you are Christ-like. But I would have to go back all the way to my childhood to let you know that it was not a healthy situation, and so therefore the norm in my mind is not normal, it's unhealthy. But because of the things that happened when I was growing up, the norm for me was very unhealthy, but I did not even feel like it was because it was the norm. So the unhealthiness didn't even dawn on me because this is just the way how things has always been. So that I felt great. I would go to church several times, like Sunday mornings. Then they had evening church. I would go to Bible study, and I forget what else they had. I can't remember. I think praise and worship as well. So I would go three times in the week, but I was not praying outside the church. You can't do that. I was going to bed not, you know, thanking God and praying. I was not waking up praying and thanking Him. I was not praying throughout the day. I was not reading the Bible. So it's no wonder that it ended up crumbling. It fell apart. And the road to get back there was very difficult because I felt like I had no support system and I had addictions, two addictions. One because of when I was growing up, that addiction still haunts me and plagues me, something that I struggle with daily. And then the other one, I picked up when I moved to Connecticut, and that was just a thing that guys do, single guys do when we hang out. So I had that going for me, and then springing forward, I went on a business trip and got into some more addictive things. So, but let's spring backwards again, or fall backwards. So the life was not, I didn't never know what knew what a normal relationship looked like, because I've never had one. It was just always doom and gloom, and that felt normal, felt comfortable. That's all I knew, was doom and gloom and anger and violence, and that's all I ever knew. So it was a very difficult time. And so then I went down the road, I took a wrong path down the road of darkness, where I invited demonic entities and thought I was safe by creating myself in a circle of protection. I thought I had studied and had it all down. And the reason for doing that wasn't because I was curious about the darkness. It's because I was worried about a best friend I haven't seen or heard from and couldn't contact them. And so I figured that this was the way to go. I don't know. Now, in hindsight, I know that the enemy planted these thoughts in my mind to get me to go down that path, which was a horrible path to go down. And only by the grace of God, I got out of that path. But it was not good. I mean, I don't even want to talk about the things that happened throughout that period. And it was, it's not a road that I recommend you go down. It really isn't. So once I got out of that, I also struggled to hold a job because, again, anger was an issue. So termination happened, lost my condo, and I was literally a homeless person living in a condo that's not mine anymore, with no electricity, no heat, no nothing. And my dog at the time, Zeus, was the one that he helped me get through the cold nights. I feel horrible the way how I treated that dog, because I couldn't even take care of myself, never mind a dog. Which, spring forward again, I'm the polar opposite with the rescue dog that I have now, Chipcha Iroh. He is amazing. I take care of him like he should, make sure he gets all his shots, his medication that he needs for heartworm. He's fed. In fact, when I took him for his annual checkup, the doctor or the vet was like, wow, this dog has muscles everywhere. He is completely healthy. So he did have some Lyme disease antibodies, so he's taking some antibiotics for that. But other than that, everything else was great. But I felt horrible that I wasn't able to take care of the dog like I should have. It wasn't a good situation. And when he died, it took me a long time to get over that. I did not want to go anywhere near getting another dog, because that was a difficult situation when I had to go and put him down. I remember it like it was yesterday. I guess how it works, if you never had to put your dog down or an animal, They give them an injection that makes them woozy or whatever it does to them. And then the second one is a lethal one. So they gave him the one that makes him woozy so I could say goodbye to him. And I saw tears in the dog's eyes. So I don't know. Some people say that they don't have feelings, but they absolutely have feelings. And I saw the tears in the dog's eyes. And they was like, well, sir, we're going to have to give him the second one because the first one's going to wear off. And so they gave it to him. And I'm not sure how you describe how my reaction was. I guess hysterical is the only thing I could come up with. I was shaking him. I was like, Zeus, Zeus. I was like shaking him. I broke down. I had a nervous breakdown. I couldn't believe that he was actually gone. But that was tough. And I never wanted to go through that again. That was one of the strongest reasons I never wanted to get another dog. But even doing my rough childhood growing up, I've always had a dog. And that was always, I believe, in hindsight, looking back on it, that was God's way of helping me through all the difficulties that I was going through. I've always had the unconditional love of that dog. So I've always, when I did not have one, it was rough. And then when I did finally decide that I want to have a dog when I moved to Holyoke, Massachusetts, and that was my friend at the time, he said that if I move there, that everyone else has dogs. And because that was one of the conditions, I said, I don't want to move in there if I can't have a dog, because I have decided now that I need a dog now. And so I get there, and sure enough, the landlord said that I couldn't have a dog. I was crushed, and I had already paid, committed to moving. I was so unhappy there. I could not understand. Everyone had dogs and he wouldn't let me get one. And no, I don't think it had anything to do with racism. I don't think that was in play at all. But it was just very disheartening that I couldn't get a dog. And so I ended up, I don't know how I ended up settling on sugar gliders. I went against everything that I looked up, and it said they do not make good pets, do not get sugar gliders, and they listed all the reasons, and I just kind of fell in love with the sugar gliders. I still have them now. I believe they're 8 years old, and supposedly they're kept their life in their domestic lifespan is supposed to be 10 years, so I don't know. But if you are looking to get a sugar gliders, they were absolutely right. If I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't get sugar gliders. I would get something different. I don't know, a guinea pig or a rabbit or something. No, actually not a rabbit. They're messy too. Sugar gliders are a lot of work. I mean, the ones that I got to begin with, the breed that I got them from, she said that apparently she had a stroke and she was in the hospital for I don't know how long, and she wasn't able to tame them, so they were completely wild. In fact, to this day, they're pretty, I would say they're semi-wild, semi-tame, because they don't like to be picked up. They will jump on me when they feel like it, but they do not like to be handled. So, but I mean, a lot of people get them tamed, but they're very messy. They kick food everywhere. It's just, if you don't have the time to take care of them, they are not for you. And they may be little, but these little things eat a lot. They eat a lot. So, I remember the first time I knew I didn't have a dog, but I heard a barking. I was like, No one told me that sugar gliders bark. I couldn't believe that they were barking. So when I finally got to the cage, sure enough, they were barking. The only way I could describe the bark, it sounds like a little chihuahua. And they still do it to this day, but I think they don't call it barking, but it sounds like a dog barking. And I still have them. When I moved, well, that was the other factor. I was just depressed. I was like, I want a dog. Everyone around me have dogs, and this was the reason I moved there. I was so sad and depressed because I wanted a dog. And so I decided right then and there that I'm going to clean my credit up. And my friend Chris at the time, he said to me, there's a housing class, you should go with me. And so I went to that, and I was the one, I ended up finding a home first, and then I introduced Chris to my realtor, and he got a home through the realtor. But yeah, I was very sad that this man wouldn't let me get a dog. So one of the first things that I did was get a dog, and it was very difficult. I knew I was not going to get a Rottweiler again. There was just no way I was going to go the Rottweiler route. And so I went on Pet Finder, and I started looking for dogs that are companion dogs. So that's what I wanted this time around. I never really had a companion dog before. So I had settled on a yellow lab, and I filled out the adoption papers. I said that I was approved or whatever. And so when it came time for me to get the dog, they said that puppy was already sold. I was heartbroken. And I don't remember who I spoke with, but someone said, do not set your heart on the puppy that you see on this Pet Finder, because your heart's going to be broken if you're not able to get it. And sure enough, that's what happened. My heart was broken. So let me see if I can show you a picture of Chip. I should have loaded this up before. I didn't realize I was going to talk about Chip, but how could I not talk about Chip? I ended up getting a chocolate lab, and I didn't even know that I didn't know that chocolate labs were the most rambunctious of all the labs. But I'll show you a picture of him when he was a puppy, me holding him. Let's see right here. There it is. That is Chip. He was such a sweetheart. He still is. He's an amazing dog. He put me through a lot by ripping my carpet off in the kitchen, which was probably a blessing because I ended up putting down, I don't remember what's called, the kind of tile. Looks like stone or wood, but it's not. But he would escape. He would watch me. He's so smart. He knows how to open the door, because he would watch me open the door. But he's a great dog. And I got him from Connecticut, Paw Safe Rescue. And I forget exactly where in Connecticut, but that's where I got him. I remember once that organization said that the yellow lab was already sold, or golden, I think it was golden. I was so upset that I said, I'm not going to go with this organization. So I went back on Pet Finder and literally fell in love with Chip. As soon as I saw him, I said, this is a pup for me. I don't know what it was, but I just knew. It was like something just told me, this is the one for me, and I'm going to get him. So I think it was a Saturday afternoon, I called them, and they said, well, it was too late for me because it's a long drive from where I am. And they said it's going to be too late, just come Sunday morning. So that's what I did. And I was really hoping that he would not be gone and adopted by the time I got there. So I got there, and I was walking through, and I was looking at some border collies, and I almost changed my mind. I was, because they were looking so cute, I was like, maybe I should get this border collie. But I was like, no, I'm here for Chip, and that's where I'm going. And so story, we walk all the way around, and we get to where Chip, and I think it was four, five of them in all, including Chip. And so they open up the gate, and all four of them are wagging their tails, coming at me, showing me love, except Chip. He just laid in the back, and he paid me no mind at all. And they said, so which one do you want? I said, I want Chip. And they were like taken back. They was like, really? You want the one that's not paying you any mind? But I knew that that was the one for me. So on the ride home, he jumped right into my lap and fell asleep. In fact, on the way home, I stopped at, I believe it's PetSmart in Enfield, Connecticut, and wanted to get some things for him. So I was holding him like I did in that picture you saw, and he was literally sleeping like a baby. Everyone was, oh, he's so cute. Did I touch him? Could I pet him? So that lasted forever. I'm glad we got over that phase. That took forever. And so anyway, I wanted, you know, I set my mind to getting a home, because that was one of the primary reasons I knew I would be happier with than without a dog. And God has always had a dog in my life to help me through the bad times. And I believe that for that period when I didn't have a dog, my life just erupted like a volcano. And so once I got here to South Hadley, then my next step was to find a new church home. That was the other thing. It was almost like it was something that I knew that I needed in my life. I needed to find a church home. I didn't expect it would take 4 years later to find a church home, but doing that 4 years, I still, the darkness crept in, and I fell back into some of those addictions and picking up a new one when I went to Chicago and picked up that bad addiction. And you know, it was very difficult to find a church home when I was into these bad things. You know, you have to, your thoughts are lies. Your thoughts are going to lead you astray to do bad things, make bad choices. So it is best not to listen to your thoughts. What you need to do is you close your eyes and you put your hands in a praying hands together, but your palms not touching. And you close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, to stay focused, just know that you're, just focus on your hands. Focus on it. And once you're focused and your mind is clear, you're going to now put your attention, you know, picture that you are looking right in between the eyes here, and the thoughts that are in your mind, think of it like a movie. Don't engage in it. Just let it flow right through you and keep going. Don't interact with it. Just let the thoughts flow and let it keep flowing. Do this maybe for 10, 15 minutes. In the morning, in the afternoon if you're stressed, and then in the night before you go to sleep, and keep doing it. Your thoughts are gonna fight. tell you that this isn't working, this is stupid, it's happened to me, you have to be consistent with it. Because if you're not consistent, it's gonna be hard to get it done. But if you do that, it's going to help you realize that your thoughts are lies, and just pretend like it's a movie and just let it flow right out and keep going. But I finally wanted to get really serious about finding a church home. And I remember a church that's pretty close to where I am. I would always look and see, just have a feeling like I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be there. And so the only thing I could do is pray and ask God to give me a sign if this is the church for me. And I don't remember where I was, but I could have been at Walmart in Chicopee. I'm almost sure I was there. I was on Walmart, and I think an evangelist, he came up to me and gave me a Baptist church pamphlet. Now, usually, I mean, when you see people come with pamphlets, the first thing you think of is Jehovah's Witnesses, or what's the other thing? The Mormons. Oh, let's fall backward again. I forgot that one step before we get to me praying, asking God if this church is right for me. I took a wrong turn because I don't know anything about Mormons. And so I engaged that. I was thinking about becoming a Mormon, so they started coming to my home, and it was just something about it just didn't feel God-like. It just did not. So I started researching, and I was like, they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to follow any church that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not going to do it. So I ended up just telling them. And on another thing in their history, I don't remember exactly, but they didn't talk too kindly of black people, put it that way. But it's funny, now that I was getting closer and closer to May 21st, 2023, the enemy is trying to throw roadblocks in my way. They text me, the Mormons, wanting to try to get to me again, but I completely ignored that. My friend who was going to church for the wrong reason. I believe for him, he just went to church just because I went there. And he wasn't trying to make his walk with God a priority, which is why we kind of had a disagreement on that. And he did not show up because he was off. He was also going to be a member, but he did not show up. There was an issue with profanity. He uses profanity a lot, and I try to tell him that that's not godly, that's ungodly, you can't use that. And then he would argue with me and tell me that, where does it say you can't use profanity in the Bible? Which is silly, because we know what foul language means. So anyway, they throw that roadblock in my way as well, and just stressing me out, leading me, pushing me back into one of my addictions, having to repent from doing that. Very difficult to, you know, when these stress was just weighing me down. And I would, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. And that was always been my problem. I've always been so independently strong, and now I have to humble myself and realize that I need God's help. Jesus is the way. I cannot do all these things by myself. I'm not strong enough. It's a spiritual warfare. It's not of the flesh. I can never win. I can never win this. So once I realized that, I'm not perfect at all. I still got a lot of growing to do, but I'm definitely where I need to be. I'm on the team, on my video audio team of my church. In fact, on May 21st, 2023, one of the lead video audio guy, he was not there, but he, you know, the previous week before that, he said, "I got this." He said that I could, I've watched you and you've grown. You've grown into this role. I can see your confidence and you're doing great. And it was a good testament because Pastor Peters, he said to me, "This was your first time alone. You knocked it out of the park." He was very proud of me. And that was pretty cool. That was nice. So it was a long road to get here, but again, I had asked God for some signs, and that the first one was at that Chicopee Walmart. And then I was somewhere in Worcester working, and someone gave me, I would guess it's another evangelist, gave me another Baptist church pamphlet. I was like, this has got to be a sign. I still didn't, still, it was like almost I was like pig-headed, or the enemy was like, this is no sign. Just, he was like, messing with my mind, saying this is no sign. But then the third time when I got another pamphlet that said Baptist church, I said, okay, I am going to this church. And then that was the other struggle. It was like a magnet repelling itself, keeping me away. And so, you know, I would talk to my friend at the time, and he was like, well, I'll go with you. And so it's something that always come up, and I finally told him, I'm not waiting for you, and my walk with God is alone, and I'm gonna go. He was like, so he went with me. And then his friend, she went went with us as well. And so I had known that once I had my foot in the door, that I would be fine. And I felt instant love as soon as we stepped through the doors, greeted with a warm hug welcoming us. It was great. And in fact, the lead pastor, Pastor Joe, he was on a mission, I forgot where exactly, somewhere in the Middle East. So he was not there. So I was introduced to Pastor Peters. He was the one who was preaching for those 2 weeks before I actually met Pastor Joe. And so it was, I knew that this was the right place for me. And once I wanted to talk to Pastor Joe about being, getting deliverance, but Baptist church, I guess that's, they don't actually do it like, I'm not sure how to word it. They don't do deliverance in that sense. We'll pray with you, but they don't actually do deliverance, almost like, or exorcism or deliverance, some people call it. They don't do things like that. And so I was telling him about the darkness that the things that happened in my past. And that's when we got to talking, and I told him I was a videographer and a video editor, and he said that he had prayed about getting someone with my talents into the church. So it was like a great fit. It was like, this is where God sent me, and this is where I can use my talents to help bring on church people to church and to bring them closer to God, to get them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So this was definitely my calling and I've been using my talents for worldly things. So it's time to use it for what God wants me to use it for. And so that is the goal that I want to set for myself. So that is my testimony, that anyone can overcome darkness if you really want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior into your life. You can get over your darkness. It's not going to end because we're still human, and the enemy is going to always try to push you back into that darkness. But repentance and getting help from your congregation, your church family, is also a great help that will help you get over it. Reading your Bible daily, your devotionals. I mean, I just do not like to read. I've never liked reading unless it was something I was interested in, like comic books, which I really wasn't interested in comic books either. But I never liked reading. But I do my devotionals, you know, every morning, my prayer. I try to put in there the silent prayer. That's what I was telling you about before, when you essentially let the thoughts escape and go through you like a movie, silent prayer. So I do that. I just started that. I haven't been doing that, but the devotional and prayers and prayer at night. And if I'm having a tough day, I would listen to the audio Bible in my earbuds. And it's a good habit that I've picked up, and something that you need to do. And I'm doing my Bible studies in church. Also doing other like leadership Zoom meetings with the church and stuff like that. So I'm very committed, and I'm going to have to fight tooth and nail, because the enemy, especially us Christians, he's going to want to spiritually attack us and knock us down a peg. So you have to fight through that. Fight, and fight. So let me show you there it is. That's my church membership. My big head is in the way, but that's it behind me there. Very, very happy that I found a church home. It's a 4-year journey. Well, actually a little bit longer than 4 years. 4 years once I moved to South Hattie, and I prayed that I needed to find a new church home. So that is my testimony. Certainly, if you are looking for a church home and you are local in the Western Massachusetts area, certainly Google Second Baptist Church, South Hadley, Massachusetts, and you can certainly live stream us. If you like what you see on live stream and you want to come through the doors, that would be great. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to shake your hand and welcome you to our church. So that is all I got for today. Again, if you are so inclined, go to politicalbombshow.com, go to Political Bombshow Store, and, well, no, you can't have Chip. Chip is all mine. But you can certainly get that t-shirt that we spoke of earlier. I'm sorry, Chip is mine. You can't have Chip. Chip is all mine. What I meant was this. Here you go. Hands up, praise God. Hands up, praise God. And if you have a testimony and you'd like to share it with us, I'd be more than happy to run it on here. Just let me know. How will you let me know, you ask? Well, just go ahead and give me a text at 413-349-8044. 413-349-8044. And we can talk more. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.